Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
On 1 September 2024, members of retirement schemes were allowed to access one-third of their contributions for their financial needs without having to resign or cash out their pensions, which should have been the position before. Let's find out what's happened over the last year and a month. Mangaliso Ngasana, Manager Actuarial Umbrella Fund Solutions at Liberty, joins us. Thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening, Mangaliso. Just take us through what the last year has looked like.
Good evening, Google. Glad to be here with you and the listeners. When you say it's been a year since Tupot went live, part of me wants to disagree with you, but I know that's what the calendar says.
Yeah.
But it's been quite a different year, I think. So building up to 1 September last year, the big focus was on the first part for people getting access to their money, and can give you the stats of how many people across the industry went in. Mm-hmm. But I think the second year has been about, what about the second part, the money that's left behind, and how do we make sure that the members are now closer to us and more in touch with the benefits that they actually do have and that are now preserved until they get to retirement.
Mm-hmm. And so what are those numbers saying? I know that you published a report called Relief Today, Preservation Tomorrow, about these issues, Mangaliso.
Yeah. When we look at the year to, I think it's about 9 months, the end of June this year. So from 1 September to end of June this year, mm-hmm. Across the industry, we had about 57 billion rand being withdrawn as part of the two-part sure. system. That's about 4 million claims coming through across the industry. And a lot of that was sort of pressure that came in the initial burst. So we all know last year, 1 September, financial services were all on our toes, making sure we could deal with the people as they come ask for their money. And like the first wave hit us with about 22 billion coming out of the industry at that point in time.
Wow.
So we had the large influx, but still carried on afterwards. And as we come through, we had the surge of the initial requests, but now we're starting to stabilize, find our feet, see what is actually happening in terms of patterns.
Mm-hmm. And some of those patterns are showing that ages between 31 and 41 and 41 and 45 withdrawing, and the pensionable salaries between roughly 60,000 and 120,000 rand. Just give us more insight into who those people are who are withdrawing, their salaries, and any other information that you found.
Yeah. When we look at the members who've actually come to make withdrawals, you might have had your own biases before thinking who might come in, but we started seeing across the spectrum in terms of people coming through.
Mm-hmm.
When we say that you saw a lot between ages 31 and 51, it also reflects a large part of the working population in that group.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing that it's people who have been working. If it was younger ages, it's people who've started working, maybe haven't had a lot of time to build up their assets, their financial well-being, and trying to use the retirement savings to get to that. But when we look at the group that has been claiming, it's actually people who have been in the working force. It's some of those people where we might have seen the resign and re-enter in order to access the funds,
yes,
with the two-part system giving some relief over there.
Okay.
Even with the incomes, you highlighted the 60 to 120K, but the 180,000 to 240,000 was also there in the mix. So it's showing that it's not just towards the lower end of the spectrum. When we look at middle-income families, there were a significant number of people also accessing their funds in this two-part system, showing that the strain was hitting across the spectrum.
Okay. And about 11,500 rand per withdrawal, that's the average claim that you were seeing.
Yeah. And having gone and looked into some of our numbers, just being naughty and checking it out there, it's the average amounts were larger before 1 March. So when we had the first round of people who made just one claim, it's seed amount, seed capital gave them a bit of a boost. People mm-hmm. took that money. But when we look at the repeat withdrawals, so people who came through for the second time when they were allowed to 1 March this year, when we got into the new tax year, it showed that some people, it was any money I can get, this is what I'm going to get out.
Okay.
And that shows the average shifting downwards, because there were those repeat offenders who were, shouldn't call them offenders, those repeat withdrawers who were trying to access their financial well-being to make sure that they can survive now in order to make it to the future.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting when you did a breakdown of how people use their funds, and obviously this is not a judgmental space, you know. People use their money for debt repayment, essential spending, and then you're saying the vehicle deposits.
It's, yeah, so being part of a large financial services group, we looked across the spectrum, from the banking data, from SARS, that's to say, all the pieces of information we could get. And there's the first part we would have expected is people dealing with debt. So I'm drowning in debt. Let me use me. Also people who you've been working for years. You know that you might have not asked for this retirement vehicle. It was part of your employment. Now you have the opportunity to access some of these funds for the things that you might feel are important at this point in time. And that's what some people were doing with their retirement savings. And as we said, it's a safe space. At the end of the day, it becomes that balancing act of how much do I use today in order to ensure that I can survive in future. And even if we might want to judge them for making such decisions now, but had they resigned or changed jobs, there's also no saying what would have happened in the previous system. The person still could have taken this money and bought the car and then gone to their new job. So it's not necessarily that this is creating bad behavior. It's just behavior that was there before.
Okay. And then when you withdraw, there is obviously a downside to that withdrawal. It's not just good times. It's not just withdrawing the money, even if it's going to help you with debt or your car repayment or whatever it may be. You are taxed.
Yeah. I remember I saw an article or someone said the biggest winner in the two-part retirement system was SARS. And it sort of comes through when you look at it, because when you're making the withdrawal, SARS takes a portion of that. And it's not necessarily, we can't say it's a bad thing. It's the money that went into the retirement system got certain benefits. It was tax exempt. The returns weren't taxed. So some of that has to happen so that we don't treat this as a fancy bank account. Mm-hmm. So SARS is the first to take there. But then you see the second part of sort of the SARS payday, if we call it that, being the members who actually had outstanding debts with SARS, where we saw about, I think, 2% of total withdrawals actually having 4% had an IT88. So that means you owe SARS and they've put a flag when we sent for a tax directive. 2% of overall claims actually ended up not getting anything because SARS said, actually, what you owe me is the same or more than what you're taking out and settling that debt.
Hectic. Okay. And I know we spoke about the age a little bit earlier on, Mangaliso, and we saw youngish people withdrawing. We also saw preservation gains. That's according to key highlights from your report, a 10% increase in the number of members preserving benefits. Tell us about that.
I think it's one of the good things about two-part. It's called two-part for a reason. The first part gives you access to some of the funds. But the important part that is actually now gaining importance and it's going to gain a lot more is the rest of the money actually has to be preserved. It has to be put away until you reach retirement age. Mm-hmm. So now that you can't take this money away, there's one aspect that says it has to be preserved somewhere in the system. And that's, if we think back a few years ago, like regulation changed and said that pension funds had to have in-fund preservation. So you can leave your money in there. When you change jobs, it's not you and your money must go, can leave it there, keep it secure. Now those vehicles are actually now coming into use. I think from our perspective, we saw a tenfold increase in terms of money that is being preserved. And 75% of that is actually being preserved in funds. So it shows that the changes that have been happening over time are all culminating towards this two-part retirement system that we find ourselves in now.
Okay. Mangaliso Nqasana, manager at the Actuarial Umbrella Fund Solutions at Liberty. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just talking to us about that interesting data that Liberty has gathered and placed in the report just to understand who is withdrawing from those two pots, where that money is going, how it's been used, and how it's broken down in terms of demographic. Really appreciate your time tonight.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.